And I almost didn't go. It was like, who am I to do this? Like, this is silly. And then, I heard God. It was like, you know what? No, like, you should definitely do it.
I'm Adira Polite, and this is Then God Moved. Glad I came across your TikTok. The For You page did me right.
Yeah, sometimes it lies, but mostly it
Yeah.
never lies. It's good.
Sometimes it tells you what you don't want to hear, which honestly, your TikTok was what I didn't want to hear at the time. Even though it's like very positive, I was like, wow, this is exactly what the Lord has been speaking to me about. Honestly, just like the value of hard work and what comes when we put ourselves out there. Because as I DM'd you, like, I just think it was very interesting how what you said kind of counteracts what the prosperity gospel says, but it also doesn't swing to the opposite extreme of God doesn't care about your finances. We know, like, you kind of reap what you sow, and it's not just how much you're sowing, but how you're sowing, like how you're moving. And I've thought what was so interesting about your TikTok, which we'll obviously get into, was how on the surface it sounds kind of shallow, maybe. Like, you're talking about this night you had that was, like, in many ways glamorous, but fully spirit-led. And that's what was so interesting to me, was you were seeing something that was, in a sense, worldly, but with spiritual eyes. And I think that the conclusion you came to was profound. So we're going to get into all of that. But first, for my listeners, I want to welcome to the show Erica Hardy. I found her on TikTok. She's a TikToker, very great storyteller. So I'm excited for what she has to share with you guys. I would love to hear a little bit about your upbringing, your early walk with God.
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Of
I'm
course.
a little bit nervous, but of course, we're going
Oh,
to channel that into excitement. So I'm
yes.
excited.
Yes.
But so I grew up Christian. My mom was a single mom. So she actually had me in church from a pretty young age, not super young, but I would say maybe 7 or 8. And, I felt really safe in the church. I never had any, like, really traumatic experiences there, thank God. And I always felt like just super safe, but I felt like as the time progressed and as I got older, I was never super like lit for the Lord and just like on fire for Jesus. And that really, started a few years ago. So my husband is military, so we move around a lot. For a while when we lived in Hawaii, I was super into like new age spirituality, like so deep into it that I didn't even realize. And it
Wait,
wasn't
so
until
interesting. Wait, how did you get into
oh my gosh. So, how did I even? I think it started with yoga. Honestly, okay, a little bit further back than that. So, when my husband and I lived in Germany, I pretty much had this like quarter life crisis. I just really like didn't know who I was. It was such a new marriage and I was kind of like finding myself. We were overseas. It was just a lot. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to just do this like inner self-discovery work. I started reading all of these books from like super well-known authors, people who were like super respected in like the psychology space and like the, metaphysical and all that stuff. And I found a lot of comfort and like understanding in that. And then from there, I started like doing yoga and like meditating. And then I got into like crystals, and this other form of yoga. And it was all super intense. But when I was, using crystals and stuff, I just got super wrapped up in it. I was like, oh, well, this one has. These have powers, and this is for this, and this is for that. And then there came this one point where I was like, well, where does God fit into this? Because, like, if I'm doing all these practices, I'm waking up like 2 hours before I have to go to work to like do this full-on routine, and like I'm like praying to a certain direction for like prosperity, and I'm doing this like chanting and stuff. It was just looking back at it, it was just so wild. And, it wasn't until I asked myself that question where I literally got my answer, because it's like, if I have to ask, then that like God is not in it. And of course, he made all those beautiful crystals and things, but the meaning that I had associated and how I had seen them was just, I had given all of his power and all of his glory to these beautiful rocks. It was so
Like
bad.
created
So,
things.
yeah. So I ended up just throwing away like all of those like new age books and all the crystals, and just because I feel like the devil will just really have you believing that you need to be doing, you know, X, Y, and Z in order to find this peace and this love and this wholeness. And the more I, you know, just dove into all of those practices, the more elusive what I was really searching for became. And it wasn't until I started walking with Jesus again, where it was literally like I wake up, I spend time with him, you know, prioritizing him. When I'm just doing that, it's like I don't need 50 million other things to be doing. Like I just need to talk to him, and like that's it. He fills me. It's like this unexplainable joy and this peace and this comfort and clarity that I've just never had when I was doing New Age. And I'm just so happy to have rediscovered that.
Yeah. What led you to be like, okay, wait, was there a moment of realizing that this was like nefarious, or was it just kind of like, I can't fit God into it?
So that's a great question. My sister, who I love very dearly, she is like one of my role models. You know, she was into the New Age and everything too, but you know, God had opened her eyes. And so she was kind of like a little bit of a light for me to be like, hey, girl, like, you know, I was there too, but like, here is like what God has been saying to me, and I'm gonna still pray for you. And I was like a little bit hesitant. I was like, I don't understand why this is bad, you know? And so it was her praying and, you know, just having these conversations, challenging me, really challenging my beliefs about what I was currently believing in. That kind of led me to that question, like, where does God fit into all this? I really attribute, you know, a portion of this awakening to her. And, you know, I think I would have gotten back on the path with the Lord at some point. I just don't know how soon it would have been. So, like I said, just throwing away all the things that were not it and doing devotionals. I use the Bible app a lot. I feel like I have a little bit of like ADHD. Like it's just really
Oh,
hard.
same. No wonder it was so hard to get this interview scheduled.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. So it's hard for me to read chapters like cover to cover. So I was really just kind of diving in here and there, like listening to like Christian songs. That was one of the first things I had done, just deleted all my like secular music. And so now I just have like a variety of Christian bops. So, and just praying that God continues to reveal himself to me and remove the things that are not, you know, not in his plan for me, and just trying to be a better person. You know, there are things that even now that I'm still kind of struggling with, but he's still working on me. So I'm happy to see where it's going, and just even the progression of, you know, where it's been to now.
What year was this when you kind of recommitted?
This was like 2019. Yeah.
Did you receive, I guess not confirmations, but just kind of little God winks of like you're on the right path? Or was there ever a period of being like kind of looking back, like kind of miss that old way or no?
No, I mean, I've never missed it. Like I said, I had a lot of confusion when I was doing all this stuff. Like, I still felt like something just wasn't quite right, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And it, like I said, it wasn't until I just like did a complete overhaul to where it was like, wow, it was really that easy. Like, I just, yeah. I mean, so for me, it was that clarity. It was that, like, it's just God. Like, it just felt different. Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. What was your husband's like perspective on all this? Like observing this massive shift in you?
Girl, oh my gosh, that's such a great question, because he has seen me evolve so many times. Like before, I was into the crystals, and I was kind of like this hurt and this young girl who had daddy issues. My husband and I got married after probably like a week after knowing each other in real life. And so we are still learning about each other, you know. And so he's seen this little girl, you know, fresh out of college, like kind of hurt, like wounded, you know, and then the evolution into like finding like confidence, and then kind of getting into like the whole new age thing. And he would walk in, and I would be like laying out in the floor, like in a star position with like crystals all over my body. And so he's like, bro, what is going on? There have been times where I was super into like like womb work. I would put like my like menstrual blood on my face. Like he'd walk into that. He would be like, bruh, like who is this person? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, and it was just so normal to me. And so now, you know, he's like, okay, so you're like a Jesus girly now. And it's so sad. And I wish, you know, I wish that I had always been about God, because it would have been an easier ride for him, like emotionally. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was just the norm. Right. And so now like, this is my normal, but he's like, oh, well, you know, I've seen so many different things, you know, mm-hmm. so like, is this gonna stay? And so I think he's finally getting to the point where this is who I am now. But like I said, he's just seen so many Ericas and phases. So yeah, I mean, he's very supportive though, overall, very supportive. You know, he's actually become a little bit more, I guess, spiritual and wanting to be a little bit closer to God. Now he's not like full on there. And I just, Lord, like work on his heart, Lord. but he's definitely come a long way as he's kind of watched me progress.
That's great. That's great. That's a very tough thing to walk through. I know. There's an episode of my podcast that is about a couple that was married. They were atheists actually at the time. One became a Christian. It was super hard for his wife. She was like on the verge of leaving him because she was like, I can't do this. Boom. The Lord works in her heart. She becomes a Christian. Oh. And I had a chance to interview both of them. And it's an incredible, like God will do it. I believe he will do it for y'all.
Yes. So, oh, I will definitely be listening to that. That's very encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah. So y'all got married a week after knowing each other. That's not fully relevant to this, but I'm super curious about that. I'm also super curious about, you've talked about your dad, like father wounds. I also have deep father wounds, and that has impacted my dating life, pursuit of marriage, all those things. So
yeah,
so like growing up, whatever happened with your father, how do you see that impacting your marriage now?
You know, I'm very thankful that my mom ended up divorcing him when she did, because he was very violently abusive to her. He was also like in and out of jail. But there were several times that he tried to kill her. There was one time I even was like 5 or 6. I was like on my knees, like begging him not to throw. We had like this iron duck statue in the bathroom, and he was like holding that over her head. She was like in the bathtub, you know, crying and stuff. And I'm just like, you know, begging him not to kill her. And so that's like, you know, a memory that I just have that sticks with me. You know, they ended up getting divorced, I think when I was like 7 or 8, because she just didn't want me growing up thinking that that was how a man was supposed to treat a woman. And so had she stayed with him, you know, I think my life and my dating situation and my marriage now would have turned out completely different. Like, I think I would have been in something super toxic where I may have, you know, been getting abused, and I would have thought that that was completely normal. But because, you know, she essentially like just got him out, you know, before those sort of things were really solidified in like my consciousness, you know, things turn out good. I mean, I was so sad for so long because like I understood it, but at the same time I was just like, oh, I want my dad here. Like, why doesn't he love me? I just want him to be here. So many nights I would just cry myself to sleep. And you know, your mom would always tell you like, I love you, you know, right. But it's like, it just wasn't the same.
It's not the same. You know? Yeah. There's still a gap.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've actually mended things now where, of course, you know, he still kind of feels like kind of a stranger. And he's got like his own children now. And so I'm like, okay, like, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. He wasn't around, you know, to help with my upbringing, but he had to raise 2 children by himself. And so he's learned a lot, you know, in his life. And I've been able to forgive him. There was this one thing that I heard. It was like, forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for you. But it was like all of that hurt that you have deep within you, like when you are able to heal and forgive that person, that means there's that much room for love and peace and acceptance and like just all the good things that can then fill that space. And so that was kind of my motivation. It's been really cool. My dad has a huge following on TikTok, and so I'll see him there. It's crazy. He's wild. He's wild. But and then the thing I'll say about my husband, so we met online on Facebook in about May of 2015. So I was just about to graduate college, and he was actually stationed in Afghanistan at the time. And so we were talking up until about August when he was due to come back. And so he was stationed in Tennessee. I drove down to my mom's, like, I'm going to go meet this stranger. I'll see you when I see ya. So I drove down to Tennessee during the middle of the night, so that way I would be there bright and early to meet him. And I met him. I hung out in his barracks room for like a few days secretly. Then one day, you know, he was like, okay, like, we have to get married because we won't be able to live together. Like, we're not going to be able to, you know, get an apartment. The military's not going to pay for all this. So we kind of got married out of like convenience. I can't say, you know, from day one that I loved him. I can't say that, but I know that I did have this feeling of really like being comforted and feeling really secure and safe. You know, whereas in other, I guess the kids are calling it situationships now. I feel so old saying that. But in other things like that, I just didn't have, you know, I didn't feel that way. And so we actually got married on his lunch break. And then I proceeded to hide back in his barracks room.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Wait, was this within that same trip?
It was. Okay. Yeah, it was. We got married and then we ended up driving up to Illinois to go to his parents' house. And then that's when I found out that our hometowns were only like 15 minutes away from each other. And after that, we went back down to Tennessee, got a place, lived there for like 8 months. Then we moved to Germany. And then from there, Hawaii. And now we live in Texas. And next month, we're about to move to Georgia.
What? Where?
So I think it's like Southern. It's Fort Moore, Georgia, which is like, I guess, on the border, one of the borders of Alabama and Georgia.
Okay.
Like the closest. Yeah.
I'm close. I'm in Atlanta, but
okay, cool. North.
But we can hang out. We can definitely hang out.
No, we definitely can, because I wanted to like explore more of the ATL. Yeah. So yes.
Yeah. Atlanta's so, you'll love it. And North Georgia, beautiful. Like the hiking here. Amazing.
Yay. Oh my gosh. I'm excited now. I'm really excited.
No, you're gonna love it here. I don't know anything about Fort Worth.
Fort Moore.
I don't
it
know
used anything. To be called Fort Benning, but then they started changing all of the names and stuff, so I'm just trying to be like politically correct, I guess.
That's awesome. Okay, so you are a military wife, but what do you do?
Yeah, so I currently work as a metabolic coordinator / financial coordinator / chiropractic assistant in like my day job. I help women and men lose weight using red light therapy. By license, I'm an esthetician, so it kind of coincides. And so it's kind of like an integrative wellness clinic that I work at, which I love. They play Christian music all day. So it's literally like I get to just praise Jesus all day, 4 days a week. It's awesome. Like, and
that's awesome.
It's great. Like just the feeling that I have when I'm there, it's just so beautiful. And I'm also trying to grow a skincare business, because one of my big passions is to start a skincare line. That was the main motivation for me going to aesthetic school, is so I could do that and stop, you know, hiding behind makeup. Mm. I know I've got a full face on. It's actually sunscreen, which they've come a long way. Like sunscreens, tinted sunscreens, top tier now. It's like, why are we still wearing foundation when we can wear tinted SPF?
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, you could sell me anything. As soon as you came on the screen, I was like, oh my gosh, your skin just glows. So yeah, I would buy whatever little thing you concocted up. I'll buy
it. Thank you, girl.
So when you were in that hotel bar, which I'll let you explain to the people, but you went to a hotel bar and it's a God's story. What were you there doing and what happened?
Yeah, so I was actually in Dallas for the weekend for this Money is Masterclass that I had actually been funneled into, happily funneled. And so that event had like Mark Cuban there and David Goggins, Cody Sanchez, all these like super heavy hitters in the business space. And so, you know, they were having this masterclass. I was like, cool, I want to learn more about money, like what the 1% of the 1% are doing with their money. So when I'm there, I was like, well, I really want to just like maximize my time, right? I'm super big into like learning through osmosis. You know, sometimes, especially being a military spouse, you can get really settled into the paradigms and it's like, you're just there supporting him, and you know, you just have kids, and a lot of, military spouses don't work, and that's just like not who I am, right? I'm always striving to like do more and be more and have more. And so I go to the bar specifically, one, because I'm like on a budget. It's ironic, I'm going to this Money is Masterclass, but I'm like on a budget. So I'm like,
Wise, it's called wisdom.
I'm like, it's probably too late to book a reservation. Like, it's probably going to be like a lot of money. I'm just going to go to the bar. So luckily it was more than just like a standalone bar. There was little pockets of seating and everything. And so I was just going there to hear what kind of conversations wealthy people were having, because I didn't grow up around money. My mom, I remember her working several jobs, and a lot of the times not even be able to make ends meet, or having to borrow money from friends or family members. And so I didn't hear these conversations that were super empowering. I didn't see people doing the thing that like I wanted to be doing now. And so I was like, well, we're here, we're gonna make the best of it. We're like, let's go to this hotel bar. And I almost didn't go. It was like, oh, like, who am I to do this? Like, this is silly. Even from when I was in my Airbnb, I'm having these conversations. And then, I heard God. It was like, you know what? No, like, you should definitely do it. Don't let your insecurities or these old feelings, and maybe even still current now that I'm saying this, hold you back. And so I went, and even in the Uber, I'm like, I could just not go. Like, I could just leave. Like, oh gosh, just getting super nervous. And then, we showed up, and the gentleman was, approaching the car, opened the door, helped me out of the car. And then, I walked in, and again, this moment of like, who are you to be here? I wanted to hide and shrink, and middle school, I got bullied a lot for how my voice is and my forehead, my hair, like everything. I mean,
Dang.
kids are, how. Yeah. And so I always like didn't want to be seen, but I also always felt that I had this calling to be seen. Like, I just had something like innately special. And so it was just always this like little balancing act. And I didn't want to let that shame and those limiting thoughts hold me back in that moment. So I had a pep talk. I was like, girl, hold your shoulders back. Like, we're gonna keep eye level. Just exude it. Like, you have it in you to do it. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. I think that was Miss Eleanor.
Princess Diaries.
No.
Oh,
Oh
that's
God,
a real
okay.
quote. No, it's a real quote. You're right.
Yeah. I was like, wait.
She's quoted on Princess Diaries. We are both.
Yeah, and I love that movie, by the way. It's so good. I walked in, perused the menu for a hot long while, because I had to channel my nervous energy into something. And then, finally, God again was like, you're not here alone. And I was just having this conversation in my head, like, I need a seat, Lord. Like, there's no seats here. What am I gonna do? I look silly if I just leave now. And something told me, just like, look behind you, girl. So I did, and like nobody was sitting in that particular area. So I was like, okay, cool. So I sat down. There was a woman who I met at the masterclass. She needed some help, some strategy for her TikTok and just socials in general. So I was like, okay, I can work on that. So I was working on that, ordered some food. And then there was this gentleman that asked if anyone was sitting there. I said, no, go ahead. We ended up having a really awesome conversation just about like what he did and his son and his family. In the midst of that conversation, to the left of me was this conversation that was being had about this man that had just closed this like $2 million deal, or was about to close this deal, this real estate deal. And it's like, it was literally happening right now. I could have reached my arm out and touched this man's shoulder. And it was just so crazy that like these two, really high level conversations were happening right in the middle of me. And something just shifted for me. And that's why I just felt super inspired to make the video, and to just share the experience, because you just never know what can go off when you put yourself in these new situations.
What was it that shifted in your mind? Because obviously, I think there was the one part that was like the worthiness piece that God was
Yeah.
working in your heart of like, you're worthy of being in this space. Like, yeah, it's a lie from the enemy that you shouldn't be in this place. But then what was that other thing that shifted?
So the other thing was just like, hey, this is possible. Like, it is possible for you to, you know, reach these financial goals that you have, you know, just because other people haven't done it. And just because you haven't done it yet does not mean that you cannot. Like, it's literally happening all around you, Erica. Just listen, like, open your ears, open your eyes, really, really see what's going on. Like, stop limiting yourself. Mm-hmm. Stop believing that you're not capable. If that man right there can do it, then why can't you do it? I just feel God saying, like, I'm with you. I know that I'm for sure with you. So, like, you know, if I'm with you, who could be against you? You know?
Period. Yeah. It's so interesting because what I think stood out to me in your story when I first saw the video, I love that there were these little whispers from the Lord. That like God was speaking to you in the middle of that bar being like, no, there's a seat for you here. You know, like, I just think of the scripture of like, he prepares a place for you in the midst of your enemies, you know? And it's like the devil is whispering to you, like, or well, really yelling at you, like, you shouldn't be here. You should go home. Like, da, 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 da. And it's like, who, if we are in God's kingdom and working for God's kingdom, stands to lose if we gain material things? The enemy. Like, the enemy does not want us. I think it's kind of this both and, where there's the temptation from the enemy to gain the things of the world at the expense of what God has called us to do and to just go out for money and stuff. But then there's gaining material wealth through God's way by doing what God is calling you to do, which is like stepping out of your comfort zone and using those gifts that he's given you for his glory, which may lead to material wealth. That then you're, you know, you're tithing and you're supporting your community and also enjoying life. And I think that it's so important to have this conversation because there's so much confusion in the body of Christ about money. I feel that there's so much confusion. I will speak, like, I have fear around it. I know for sure. Like, I've struggled to monetize Then God Moved because I've just been like, I'm scared about what happens after that happens. Mm-hmm. Like, what happens if I gain these funds and now my ministry is profitable and I lose my soul or something like that? You know, there's so much anxiety and fear around money in the body of Christ. And so that's why I just thought this was so important to talk about. So in the aftermath of that day, what were your thoughts? Like, what does this actually mean for you practically in terms of, you know, your skincare line? And is that where your mind kind of went, is like the skincare business?
It is. Yeah. And I mean, I have a lot of ideas. So, you know, but now it feels like, you know, I want to continue to put myself into these uncomfortable situations and into these high level conversations because, you know, it's also networking, you know, it's meeting other people who may have a connect in a certain space that you don't have. And so it's that piece. It's also getting more education and just getting more wisdom. And again, I feel like you can learn so many things off of the internet and YouTube, but it's different when you're able to actually ask people who are further along than you. Mm-hmm. So now for me, it's, you know, when we get to Georgia, I'm looking for country clubs to be a part of now and using those spaces to one, promote. There are a couple products that I'm working on right now. And so promoting those products in those spaces and, you know, just gaining a new circle of friends. You know, I never want to be the smartest person in a room. And so who can I learn from? You know, I think that there's just such a wealth of knowledge and information, and not all of it is good and helpful, but, you know, you can get a lot of really great gems and takeaways. But I think just overall, it was just a breakthrough for my consciousness to really realize that, like, hey, this is possible. Like, we are on the right, you know, we're on the right track. Like, let's just keep pressing on. For so long, just felt like it was just so out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you hear about it online, whatever. But the fact that it was happening in the same space and air that I was breathing, it just felt different.
I would think in a space like that, not even just the bar, but the whole conference, you'd probably came across a number of people who really were the epitome of, you know, what good is it for a man to gain the world and lose his soul? And like, how do you kind of find that balance? Like, in your mind, how do you picture your future, like this future, you know, like country clubs and like making these connections that are necessary for you to get where you're meant to be? And also what we know is that temptation to kind of just give it all up.
Yeah. And just yeah. And it is so hard. Like it's, you know, and that's something that I struggle with again, because I can be super ambitious and sometimes I can get like swept up in it. It's like, no, scale it back, because like, it is not about you. It's about bringing more people to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think that just looks like, you know, sharing my story with others and living in a way that honors God and just trying to be a light, just trying to be truthful and honest about the things that I've been through and where I am now, in hopes that other people will hear that and they'll be able to, you know, find their similarities, but also be able to kind of realize the things that they may need to part from, or that they could be living in a way that leads them to more joy and peace and love. And, you know, I just want to live in a way that inspires other people that they can also feel this, because I feel like, you know, that God is there. Like he wants to be there even more for you. You know, if you just give it to him, if you just put him first, he'll do all things like exceedingly and abundantly more. It's just like putting your faith there, you know, and I get that can be hard. And, you know, you may have had experiences where you were like betrayed by your church, or you had these moments where it's like, why would God do that? And it's like, well, people did that. Mm-hmm. God did not do that. You know, I just want to live in a way that, you know, people can see Christ in me and then they can be like, what is that?
That's a difference. There's some difference.
Then,
exactly.
You know, yeah.
Right. So do you have a business name?
I do. So it's kind of a funny story about that, because I had opened my business during the midst of the whole New Age thing. And so it was called Deity Beauty. That's actually still the name of my LLC. But I'm doing business as Lumi Skin and Soul. So Lumi, you know, means luminous and light. Skin and Soul, because I don't want it to be just all about skincare. You know, I really want it to be encompassing of wellness too. But I really want to, you know, infuse God's word in it. I'm just putting those pieces together at this point.
Got it. Like the Christian Zoop. I mean, Zoop, the Christian Goop.
Yes. Yes.
I'll tell people that's what it is. I'll tell people I'm investing in the Christian Goop. I'm not really.
I love that. Yes.
Well, is there anything else you'd want to share with people, whether it's about your story or walk?
I just want to say that it will get better. The sky doesn't stay cloudy for long, although it may look that way. The devil wants to keep you in this mindset, in these loops, you know, of sadness and despair, because there is a higher calling on your life. And I just want you to give, you know, if you haven't gave God a try, I want you to give him a try and you'll never be disappointed. I would never guarantee anything except for that. And he loves you so much. And I'm just so happy to, you know, have had this opportunity to speak with you. You're such an incredible interviewer. And I can feel just like the calmness in your spirit. And I just want to thank you again for having me on. It was really, really incredible.
Thanks, Erica. No, I'm so glad you were able to do this. And I look forward to seeing you in Georgia when you get down here.
Yes, of course. Of course. I have to give you my number off this.